those days, it just gave me the name and I carry it. The place of God, I want to tell you, this is my 40th year of teaching college. And in all these years, both in India and in the United States, seminaries, private schools, private colleges, and universities, no student has ever come to me and asked me, Rob, can I call you uncle? I was so touched. I asked him why. And he said, you are like an uncle to me. And I said, this is the highest compliment I have got. So if you want to call me Brother Thomas, you are welcome. Anybody with an uncle, that's also welcome. I was looking forward to getting out of my home in the last couple of months. I had experienced some bad health situation. In my life, I have never experienced something like that. I went to India in the month of end of June. I reached in Bangalore. From that day, that is July 1st, until about four weeks back, I have not seen a bird to sleep. That means almost 4 months I couldn't sleep. I was sitting on a couch and I couldn't climb steps. I couldn't breathe well, breathlessness and fatigue. My classes had to be arranged in one room so that students can come there. All classes can come there for the classes. These were side effects of two diabetic medications that I was given before leaving for India. So when I came back, I was hospitalized. And then I confined myself to home and then school 2 days a week. There was no way. And of course, Sunday. And then I didn't go anywhere, visit any place. I said, Thanksgiving is coming. And I'm going to Dallas. And so I'm so happy that I came and joined my son and his family to give God thanks for all God has done for us as individuals and also as families. So I have a special reason to thank God this season of Thanksgiving. Before we look into the scripture, I also want to tell you a little story. Like, I was dismissing my last class on Tuesday for students, and I had on the screen Happy Thanksgiving. So I gave students an opportunity to share with the class what their plans are for Thanksgiving. And students responded, it's a time of rest, catching up with homework. And then one student said, getting away from home. I thought that was interesting. For me, Thanksgiving was getting with family, connecting with family. But here is somebody in my class saying, Thanksgiving is getting away from family. So I asked the student, that means what? Well, I am taking a trip away from home. Yeah, that's how some people look at Thanksgiving. And I trust that many of us, or all of us, had a wonderful Thanksgiving with friends and families. Of all the traditions that are out there, I would say Thanksgiving is a great tradition to have, especially for those of us who are immigrants. In fact, in this country, everyone or most of us are immigrants. We remember that day that we landed in this country with two suitcases. I don't know if you paid a third price for a third suitcase to bring. Okay. And we came like that. We came as immigrants. We are settled in many beautiful cities. We have great prosperity. We enjoy that. And of course, we have raised our families. Some of us came as singles and we found our partners. And we have our children, grandchildren, friends, and our community has increased. And this Thanksgiving, I want to bring a message that we can connect to some theme of living life godly in a land that God has placed us, living godly life. And in that context, taking opportunities such as the Thanksgiving that this country has a tradition with to thank God for His guidance, for His blessings, and for placing us where we are. And so, with that in mind, I would like to place before you a passage of the scripture familiar to all of us, that is Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, 7 following. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I commanded you. We shall stop there. We will read further along, but let's look to the Lord before we consider His word. Loving Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your holy word. Even as we meditate from this word, we pray that you will speak to us. Speak to us in a manner in which we will be willing to yield our lives to you and to your glory, in order that we might live a godly life that will please you. Thank you for this season of Thanksgiving, and we give you all thanks and praises to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This particular text can be divided into three sections, or we can give three subtitles. So I'm looking into cover verses from 7 to 20, verses 7 to 20. So the verses 7 to 9, we would give a short title as a land of blessings. And verse 10, a heart of thanksgiving. And verses 11 to 20, a set of warnings. So we have a land of blessings, a heart of thanksgiving, and a set of warnings. And if you would like to have a title, it's a long title perhaps, I would give the title as Moses' Farewell Instructions for a Holy Living. Moses' Farewell Instructions for a Holy Living or Godly Living. As we know, the book of Deuteronomy is a set of instructions and messages Moses had for his people, whom he led for almost 120 years. And Moses is now nearing perhaps his death, and someone else is going to carry on the mantle of leadership. Joshua is going to do that. And after several generations have passed, there is a new generation that is awaiting to enter into the land of promise, the promised land, Canaan. And when they enter into that promised land, Moses is telling them, there are certain things that you need to pay attention to. I want you to know that you are going into occupy a great land, which is a land of blessing, a land of prosperity. And this land, as you enter, is a land that God, your Lord, has promised your forefathers with the covenant God made to Abraham. And this covenant of blessing that God gave to Abraham and his descendants were repeated several other occasions. So now this new generation, as they await to enter into the promised land, they need to know what kind of a land God has promised them, and then what kind of a heart response they should display as a way of gratitude to God for keeping his promises to his chosen people, Israel. And then Moses also wants to warn them of some dangers, perils of riches, and other kinds of temptations that can come on the way. And his whole intention is to tell them that you should not forget your God. When you find yourself in the midst of all these blessings, do not forget the promise giver, do not forget the gift giver, and pay your attention to the commandments of God, the instructions of God. Show forth yourself as a people called out from the nations. You are my people, God says. You are a chosen people. And therefore, this is the burden of Moses. Perhaps we can also connect ourselves to that kind of a situation where we can say, yeah, we are God's people. God has brought us to this place and God has blessed us. But we have a responsibility to live holy life, godly life, in the midst of a generation that reject God or that do not know God at all. The recent statistics by the Pew Review tells us that in terms of Christian population in the United States, the population is shrinking. In comparison to 90% of people responding as Christians in 50 years ago, today, only 67% of people report that they are Christians. Again, from that report, we do not know how many of them are, born-again Christians. It is also projected that by 2070, the number can further go down. So that means what? That it is a responsibility of you and I, it is a responsibility of you in your workplace, in your neighborhood, to live a godly life so that can bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ. So let's begin here. And looking at verse 7, we read this. The Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. Now, this is a land of promise. How different is this land from the wilderness that they have been wandering around? How different is this land or this setup from Egypt, where their forefathers lived in bondage? So this land is marked by God's blessing. It's a good land. It's a land of brooks and water, fountains, springs, valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, wine, fig trees and pomegranates, and olive trees, olive oil, honey. And then there is plenty. It's a land of blessings, abundance. There is no scarcity for food. You like nothing there. And also you have natural deposits like precious stones. You can dig copper and make perhaps business or good out of that. This is a piece of land God has promised to his people. So the nature of this land itself is that this land was kept for these people as part of God's promise to a faithful man who chose to leave his native land to obey God's call, that is Abraham. And as a consequence, God keeps this land for them. And of course, along the way, as they occupied this land, they had to fight their enemies and very, very difficult difficult experiences, generations pass away, new generations come. But in the midst of all this, and of course the wilderness experience, in the midst of all this, God has preserved this land for them. My dear friends, you know where you are being placed today. At least we have a name as of now as a Christian nation, although it is doubtful whether it is truly a Christian nation or it could be. But we still have a Christian influence. But we are given tremendous responsibility to be faithful to God in this land, faithful to God for the opportunities God has given to us in this land. That good meal that you had the other day, perhaps some of you have the leftovers for this afternoon, if you want to, have it for today. Plenty. I would like to give you a small exercise assignment for this afternoon. If you have a plan to gather with your friends or families this afternoon at home or at a restaurant, would you please do this? The senior person among you would share a story of God's faithfulness in his or her life. Perhaps you can take something from the days when you are new to this country. Pick up anything, any story, an incident of God's faithfulness to that person. And then God's faithfulness generation after generation. That's a wonderful story to share. Let your children hear that story. Let your children join you in giving thanks to God for the blessings, material blessings God has given. But for us, it's beyond the material blessings that God wants us. Even for Israel, it is not the material blessings that they should focus their minds on. That's what God is reminding them. What God is interested in is the state of their heart, their spiritual state, their spiritual prosperity. And for that reason, they need to pay attention to God's instructions that come through God's servant. Now moving on to verse 10. Again, you can read those verses again when you have time. But verse 10 says, you should have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. I want to point out that emphasis here on Lord your God. The Lord, the master of you, your life, everything that is given to you, he is the master and he is your God. So remember to give God thanks for everything that God has blessed you with. So when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord. That is expressing gratitude. We are familiar with several of the Psalms that instruct us to do the same. Psalm number 100 is believed to be a thanksgiving psalm. You enter his presence, or enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his presence with praise. Psalm number 103, we know that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his bliss, all his benefits. And there is a series of a list of things there, what God would have done for you. So bless the Lord. A grateful heart is what God expects from God's people. And what God has done is nothing but expression of his loving care for his chosen people. It is nothing but God's willingness to keep your interest as most important to him. Your welfare is important to God. God is behind everything that you have achieved. And your response to God, it could be only giving him thanks. You cannot pay anything to him by kind, but you can have a grateful heart to God's blessings. Come to his presence with thanksgiving. always give him thanks. Give God thanks for everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Paul tells that. Well, do you have a grateful heart this morning? I trust that this season will help us to reflect on the faithfulness of God. We'll move on to the third area here, a third section, that is a set of warnings, a set of instructions that would come to Israel, because there is a danger awaiting for you there. If your eyes are not focused on God, if your eyes are not focused on your soul, if you are only focused on material things, you can lose track. Friends, you know that we are living in a materialistic world. Materialism is the philosophy of our times. And in the midst of all the secularisms, we are called to pay our attention to things that matter. So look at verse 11, where you see, in my translation, it starts this way: beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Beware. Pay attention. Be careful. This is a warning to you so that you will not fail keeping God's commandments. And then there are other things that are listed in the following verses. There is a chance that you will forget the acts of God on behalf of you and your people. God's acts of redemption, God's acts of provision in the wilderness, God's acts of guidance, and then finally, God's act of leading you to the promised land. So do not forget that. You will forget it if you don't pay attention. And then there is the possibility of you forgetting why God allowed 40 years for his people to wander in the wilderness. And we read there in verse 16 that in the wilderness, God gave you manna and et cetera, et cetera. But God also did something else. God did some acts where your forefathers were humbled. God had to teach them the way of humbleness. So the 40-year wandering was a testing opportunity. New generation, you don't need to, or you should not forget what God has done to your people. God expects you to be humble people, serving him, following him. And then, verse 17, please pay attention to verse 17. This is an important verse to me. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Self-assertions, prideful attitude, self-sufficiency. Yes, I am in this position because I worked for it. My hand achieved it for me. I did this. It's all me. So you say in your heart, my power and my might of the hands have gained me this. And then you say that God had no place to play in it. Or now at least God has no role to play in this. And that is a great peril that can happen to anyone. If you don't focus your eyes on God and his word, you can focus yourself to you and yourself. God is the one who gives you power. Verse 18, Moses is telling them, you people, remember this. So he says not only a warning, beware, but also calling them, remember. See, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that it is he who establishes you in the covenant that he has promised to your fathers. Brothers and sisters, when health and wealth and power increases, when God has placed you in positions of power, influence, do not think that it has come to you because of your hard work. Of course, God wants you to work hard towards your goals. But God's word reminds us that it is God who has given you the power, given you the ability. It is by God's grace that we are able to enjoy what we have today. And then God also keeps his covenant with his people. God establishes you in his covenant, in the covenant terms. So even when you have gone astray from God, or you have a tendency to go astray, God cannot go back on his covenant terms. God wants to keep his covenant with his people. Remember, God is committed to his promises. He will establish you with the blessings that God has promised you in his covenant with his word. Okay, and then we see here another serious warning. If you fail to follow God's commandments, if you fail to walk in ways, there is something awaiting for you. That is a very, very serious, dangerous situation. You shall perish like other nations. Later history of Israel, we learn the kingdom of Israel, or kingdom of Judea, suffered great loss, captivities, and God sending them away from their land, and God giving them opportunity to repent and then come back to him, etc. So that has happened historically, but at this point of giving these instructions, it was just a warning that perish in the sense that you will lose your power, your positions, you may be displaced, you may be at a point where you find yourself weakened. This is what happened to those people who forget God. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord. So what are we to learn from this? We are called to be paying attention to God's word, God's warning, that we will not set our minds upon things of this world. Jesus told the story of the parable of the rich man, you know. This rich man came to a point where he has thought he is self-sufficient. I have my barns. When everything is stored in, when there is no more space, I will make more barns, and I will tell to myself, eat, drink. You are happy. I am happy. I have accomplished all these things. But in the same parable, Jesus gave him a title, the foolish man. You foolish man, where shall you spend your eternity if your life is called today? See, everything that we accomplish apart from God has no meaning. They are perishable. I want to ask, all of us can be included in that. Think of this situation or this scenario. You have great wealth. You have great power, great influence, wonderful family, friends around. You can get things done. And everybody looks at you as a prosperous person. You have accomplished the American dream. But without Christ, can you be satisfied as a Christian to enjoy all that is in the world apart from Christ? This thought that I shared with you is not original to me. I read something from John Piper, a well-known Bible teacher. He asked this question: can a Christian truly be content with everything that this world offers without Christ? The answer must be no. I remember this chorus of the song: give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. That's my prayer for myself, my family, and you, my dear brothers and sisters. In this season of Thanksgiving, let's remember that God has called us to be a people separated unto Him. And I shall read one verse and conclude. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is one verse that we often read in our worship services. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now received mercy. We have received mercy. We are now the children of God. We are placed in the United States of America, an increasingly secularized country. But we have a call to follow Christ, to be obedient to Him, to keep His word, to keep the testimony of God's people. And that's what God expects from all of us. Thank you very much for the time that is given to me. May the Lord bless you, give you new opportunities to live your lives and to give testimony to others concerning God's care for you and your family. May God bless all of us this afternoon. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you once again for reminding us that in the midst of all blessings that we enjoy in a land like the United States, it's possible for us to forget you or go astray from the call that you have given us. And therefore, we beseech you, Lord, that you will grant us grace, a willing heart to obey your word, so that just like what Moses instructed his people to live, that we will also live a godly life in the midst of an evil generation. And we thank you for all the blessings, material blessings given to us. We thank you for community of God's people. We thank you for the opportunity of hearing and being instructed by your word. So grant us a heart that will obey, O Lord. May our lives be something that will be committed to seek your glory and your praise. We offer this prayer in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.